Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning, everybody. And it's Lock and Load or Latte. Starbucks wants you to choose. Open to page A8 of the New York Times this morning or A14 of the Wall Street Journal, and you will see a full-page open letter from Starbucks CEO Howard Schultz. Did you see it anyway? Trying to get his little coffee shops out of the crosshairs of the gun rights debate. Let me read you part of this letter, and then we'll talk about it. Howard Schultz writes, "In the United States, open carry is the term used for openly carrying a firearm in public. Our company's longstanding approach to open carry has been to follow local laws. We permit it in states where allowed, like New Jersey and Connecticut, by the way, and we prohibit it in states where these laws don't exist, like in New York." Then he goes on to say, "Recently, however, we've seen the open carry debate become increasingly uncivil and in some cases even threatening. Pro-gun activists have used our stores as a political stage for media events misleadingly called Starbucks Appreciation Days that disingenuously portray Starbucks as a champion of open carry. We do not want these events in our stores," writes Howard Schultz. "Some anti-gun activists have also played a role in ratcheting up the rhetoric and friction, including soliciting and confronting our customers and partners," meaning his local store owners. "For these reasons," he writes, "today we are respectfully requesting that customers no longer bring firearms into our stores or outdoor seating areas, even in states where open carry is permitted, unless they are authorized law enforcement personnel." And Schultz goes on to say, "I would like to clarify two points. First, this is a request and not an outright ban. Why? Because we want to give responsible gun owners a chance to respect our request, and also because enforcing a ban would potentially require our partners to confront armed customers, and that is not a role I am comfortable asking Starbucks partners to take on. And second," he writes, "we know we cannot satisfy everyone. For those who oppose open carry, we believe the legislative and policymaking process is the proper arena for this debate, not our stores. For those who champion open carry, please respect that Starbucks stores are places where everyone should feel relaxed and comfortable. The presence of a weapon in our stores is unsettling and upsetting for many of our customers." So there you have it, part of a letter published as a full-page Starbucks ad today in the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, and elsewhere. And let's talk about the Starbucks move with someone we've had on the show before who specializes in translating gun culture for non-gun people in a certain respect. He is Paul Barrett, senior writer at Bloomberg Businessweek and author of the book Glock, The Rise of America's Gun. Hi, Paul. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Always good to be here.
And listeners, do you display your weapon in places like coffee shops if you have an open carry permit? If so, why do you need to flaunt it? 212-433-WNYC. And on the other side, if you're one of those customers, perhaps with children, who Schultz referred to in an interview, who feels uncomfortable when you see someone in a restaurant with a gun in a holster in an open carry state, you call and also tell us why you feel uncomfortable. Do you really think they're going to shoot you? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. So, Paul, Howard Schultz's letter referred to the Starbucks Appreciation Days that gun rights activists have been staging. Do you get what those have been about?
Well, I mean, I think what they reflect is how the debate about guns has come to be probably the premier, cultural symbolic debate in society right now, which is extraordinary. But we have to realize that guns have come to represent what a lot of people feel it means to be American, whether they're for them or against them. And as a result, it's not shocking to me that in this environment, gun owners, gun rights activists would see Starbucks, such a ubiquitous commercial establishment, as a place where they would express their views. Not terribly surprising.
Apparently, one such appreciation day took place right in Newtown, in your face, to the town that suffered that awful school shooting last year in our area, where people came to Starbucks wearing Connecticut Citizens Defense League T-shirts, and the store responded by closing early for the day. That was mentioned in the Times article today. That's the kind of thing Howard Schultz was responding to with this letter?
Absolutely. In fact, I think that particular incident that took place in early August was almost certainly the straw that broke the camel's back for Starbucks. They've had this permissive policy, which strikes me as a totally reasonable policy, where they say we follow the local laws. Where it's legal to wear a gun on your hip openly, you can come in and buy a cup of coffee from us. But I think that confrontation, which involved a lot of emotion in a particular community that had been traumatized, pushed Schultz and his board of directors. He told me when I spoke to him about all this a couple days ago that this is actually something that the board of directors of the parent corporation had taken up, that this pushed them to shift over. But I think it's notable that they've said they're not banning people carrying guns. They're asking people to stay away. You know, it is private property. They could tell people, we don't want you in our store. And there are restaurant chains that do that. I mean, Pete's Coffee and California Pizza Kitchen, just for a couple of examples, ban guns in their stores. So I see Starbucks as taking a reasonable point of view. They're asking people to respect the emotions that this issue stirs up and maybe have their political debate someplace else.
And not just Pete's Coffee, the New York Times article, which is in the business section, I'll point out, while the letter is in the main news section, but it mentions that Disney prohibits firearms in its theme parks, and that's in Florida, no less. And Costco bans open display of firearms in its stores, even in open carry states. But Starbucks is making this a request, not a ban, because Schultz, as I read in the letter, says he doesn't want to put store personnel in the position of confronting armed customers that are resistant to packing it away. I guess that sounds somewhere between prudent and timid. I'm not sure where. Do you know if there have been incidents at Costco's or Disneyland's or other places that actually ask the people to leave it at the door or put it away before they enter the door?
I'm unaware of specific incidents. I'm quite confident in saying that this has not been, in fact, a source of hot debate or violence, let alone gunplay. I think all of this is in the realm of symbolism. I don't think people carrying guns or not carrying guns makes these places of business a lot more or less dangerous. I think there's a lot of exaggeration by people who feel passionately on both sides of this debate about the practical implications here. In my view, this is largely an exercise in symbolism.
And by the way, I was curious after reading that thing about Disney theme parks banning guns. I was curious to see if there are Disney theme parks other than Disneyland in California and Disney World in Orlando, since the article mentioned it as a category. And it turns out their website also lists Disney cruises and resorts in Paris, Tokyo, Shanghai, Hong Kong, and Hawaii. So just a curiosity, but now you know where the Disney parks are. 212-433-WNYC if you want to weigh in on this from any side. 212-433-9692. Nick and Passaic, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi. I'm not a gun owner, but I wanted to just comment on your introductory question of why do you want to flaunt it? If it's something legal, can we ask that of anything that we're offended by or find uncomfortable, such as the way maybe somebody dresses, if they show some extra cleavage or something like that, if I find that offensive? Can we say, why do you want to flaunt it? Or any other thing that someone else might find offensive or objectionable, but is legal.
Well, probably so. Now, I asked a pointed question to each side there. For people who carry their guns openly into a place like a coffee shop, why do you want to flaunt it? And to people who are revulsed by that and think that it's going to damage them or their children or whatever. What do you think? They're really going to shoot you? But I think that is a question, and Nick, thank you, Paul Barrett, that Howard Schultz has addressed, and that one of the main reasons he's doing this is specifically that people feel uncomfortable. And I think if people were coming in and, you know, clothing that was too revealing and a place wanted to create a family-friendly environment, that would become an issue too. Do you think that there are instances, or what do you think Howard Schultz is talking about this, and even including children? You don't see a lot of kids in Starbucks, but he mentioned it in an interview.
Yeah. Well, I think all of these issues are ones that traditionally we in American society have finessed through compromise and prudence and just reasonable behavior. I mean, you don't go into a formal fancy restaurant wearing flip-flops and a bathing suit or a T-shirt. They probably have a rule against that, and people generally speaking probably wouldn't be too offended in following the rule. Places of employment, places of commerce can set rules as they wish for their customers. I mean, you can't go into a movie theater and then, you know, start having a party in the middle of the movie theater while the movie's playing, because the other customers would object to that. These are things that we actually ordinarily work out pretty smoothly, even with everyone not being totally happy. I think that's possible with the firearm issue as well, and I think Schultz is, in a sense, launching a very interesting social experiment. Can we have these varying laws from state to state, and can customers find a way to balance their competing interests so that everyone can buy a cup of coffee, and those people who carry guns maybe don't have to show the gun if they're in a Starbucks? And in those communities where carrying a gun openly, and there are plenty of places in the country where carrying a gun into Starbucks would not be offensive, maybe, you know, people who are anti-gun would bear with it there. So this actually is an opportunity for people to calm down and proceed in a mature way, it seems to me.
Richard in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hello, Richard.
Hi. You know, I think the Starbucks made a statement beyond what they intended to make, or maybe it's a clandestine statement they're making, but they're sort of coming out against open carry with the statement they've made, and I think they went a little bit too far. They could have just stated that they were against these demonstrations supporting open carry rules in their stores, and that they would prefer that these demonstrations didn't take place. That would have been enough, but for him to go and uninvite customers who legally carry firearms.
Well, it's not actually uninvite, and they, you know, Schultz made a big point of saying they won't say anything if somebody walks in with an openly displayed firearm in a state with open carry. They won't say anything. They will serve the person. They're not doing what Costco and some other stores do and actually telling them they can't come in. They're doing it as a voluntary request. Does that change it for you at all, Richard?
Well, there again, I think by saying that they would prefer that they didn't come in with their firearm, I think he took it a step farther mm-hmm. than he had to. I think he could have preferred that they didn't hold demonstrations and that they didn't use the Starbucks image in those demonstrations. I think he could have stopped at that. I think that would have mm-hmm. accomplished what he needed to as a business that wishes to have, you know, good relations with all customers in its state. I think by saying that they would prefer they didn't come in, I think he went just a bit too far in that regard.
Being that you support open carry, let me ask you the question that I posed before that the previous caller didn't like. Why do, and I don't know if you have an open carry permit, if you're calling from Queens, you can't have it in New York anyway, but maybe you have one in another state. But why do you or anyone need to flaunt it? If somebody's just going around, you know, town in their day, they're going shopping, they're going to Starbucks, why do you need to show a weapon when you go into Starbucks?
To be perfectly honest, I think someone may have a reason, and I wouldn't take that reason away from them, but my personal feeling is if I had a concealed carry permit, I'd rather conceal it because I don't need to show it myself. Mm-hmm. But I think you have a right to have that in America and to defend yourself, and I think that it's that I would have no objection, except that some states won't allow you to conceal it without a special permit.
Richard, thank you for your call. And Paul Barrett, let me put the question to you. Why do you think people who do carry weapons openly, and look, 44 states have it, and, you know, there are some states that make an exception for restaurants, but 44 of the 50 states have open carry laws. Why do you think people do carry their weapons in their ordinary course of business, including going into a Starbucks?
Well, I think it varies from place to place and person to person. In some parts of the country, it is genuinely routine. I mean, if you're in Texas or you're in Idaho, particularly not in an urban setting, I mean, carrying a gun is truly just no big deal and doesn't have that much symbolic punch to it. Everybody in the area pretty much will be a gun owner, will have grown up with firearms, and it's really a non-issue. I think in other places...
But if they're going out to hunt, if they're, you know, going to a range, something like that, I mean, it's not something they're probably doing on the same outing where they wind up at a Starbucks, you know, except in a few cases. Maybe somebody might go hunting and then go for coffee, sure, but it's not going to be the majority.
We're not really talking about hunting here is really another issue. We're really talking about handguns here. That's the issue. And the second part of my answer is that for a lot of people, as the gun debate has heated up over the last decade or so, and as the gun debate has tilted in the favor of gun rights, which have actually grown as a force, people are going further and further to demonstrate their loyalty to, their enthusiasm for gun rights, because gun rights now represent a whole spectrum of attitudes, skepticism toward the government, resentment of the Obama administration, and as I said, a wide range of issues. And so I think people are doing it in part in some areas as a political protest. However, I think you've suggested another middle ground, which is carry your gun, but as had been much more common until recent years, you know, wear a shirt over it or a jacket over it. That's really not that big a deal. I don't think that's a huge demand to make on gun owners, and I don't think it needs to be legislated. Or, you know, if you're going to go into a Starbucks, you know that this is a particular store that where they have this preference. Why not just untuck your shirt and conceal the gun? That's really not that big a deal.
Paul Barrett from Bloomberg Businessweek and author of Glock, The Rise of America's Gun, as we talk about the full-page ad that Starbucks CEO Howard Schultz took out in the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, and elsewhere today, asking gun-owning customers in states with open carry laws to please no longer carry their guns openly in Starbucks establishments. John in Paramus, you're on WNYC. Hi, John.
Yeah, Brian, I find it very uncomfortable to be in any place where I would see people with firearms and sidearms, unless they were uniformed police officers. I've even been to restaurants in New Jersey where undercover police have had guns. I find it very uncomfortable, and I don't understand why in these other carry states, why people have to have guns when they're going to Starbucks or going to the supermarkets or anything like that. This cowboy mentality, which I just don't understand the reason why. And I find it hard to believe that people are going around during the day, and even some of these other rural states, carrying guns like they're in Gunsmoke or something like that.
So if you're in a Starbucks in Paramus and it's a mellow scene, and I know New Jersey is an open carry state, but I don't know if they have an exemption for restaurants. Let's say somebody is allowed to carry one there, and you see somebody at the next table drinking coffee and he's got a handgun in a holster. Do you think he's going to shoot you, that you're at risk of being harmed or killed, or is it just, I don't like this guy's culture?
I don't like the culture. I don't know if this guy gets mad, if he doesn't, if he's sitting there having an argument with somebody, what is he going to do, pull out a gun? I was in a pizzeria in Paramus, and a guy who didn't look like any type of police officer had a sidearm. He had a gun. And I was getting ready to leave, and I told my wife, if I would have stayed 10 more minutes, I would have called the police. He must have been an undercover policeman, but he was flaunting it, that he had this gun in a holster.
John, thank you.
And it's a place that's frequented by a lot of police, So I kind of assumed he was undercover. I didn't want to make a big scene, but I found it very uncomfortable being around people with sidearms. And I would live in these other states that had this kind of law. I've been in Arizona plenty of times, in Scottsdale and Phoenix, and I don't see people carrying guns.
John, thank you for your call. And I think Arlene in Mount Arlington, New Jersey, feels similarly, right, Arlene?
That's right. First of all, I want to say that I commend Howard Schultz. I think Starbucks is a wonderful company. I think the man is very moralistic, ethical. It's just a great place to go to. And I disagree about the children. Children are always in Starbucks. People bring their mothers, bring their little kids with in strollers, little kids, you know, they have their juices and their chocolate milk and everything there. And I don't think I agree with the previous caller that when you're with a gun, okay, an argument can start. Anything can happen. I mean, it just happens all the time. And verbally, it's okay. But when you have someone coming in with a gun, come on already. You know, this is just a macho thing. I'm allowed to carry my gun, so I'm just going to walk in there and I'm going to just do it all. I mean, and it's traditional for people out west to carry a gun. I can understand that. But what do you need a gun for if you're going into a store? I mean, that's ridiculous. What are you going to find in there? You're going to find, oh, maybe someone's going to come in and rob the place, and so I have a gun I'm going to stick up. Yeah. Though you're going to shoot everybody else, too.
Right.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
Thank you so much for your call. And, Paul Barrett, you know, I think we hear from the various callers part of the cultural divide here and the different perceptions, not just with respect to culture, but with respect to what makes somebody more safe or less safe. So you have the last two callers saying, look, if you have an armed citizenry, people carrying handguns around here and there, an argument could start. And if you have a gun, the argument could escalate to a shooting where otherwise it wouldn't. On the other hand, a lot of the people who carry the guns do so specifically because it makes them feel safer as law-abiding citizens.
That's right. A good portion of the gun debate is an outgrowth of radically different attitudes toward risk, with some people preferring to look at aggregate statistics that might arguably show that the presence of a firearm, for example, in a particular place, a home or a store, might allow an argument to escalate to an incident of violence. Other people not so interested in the aggregate statistics and interested in just in their individual existential situation, which is to say, if I'm in a position of danger, if I'm threatened, if my wife or children are threatened, I want to be in a position to protect them immediately, and I'm not going to rely on society at large to come rushing to our rescue. And those are both attitudes that are present in the United States. They are both common in the United States. And the fact that the last two callers would deride gun culture as, you know, a cowboy mentality or ridiculous, I mean, I don't doubt their sincerity. But they should also stop and think that there are millions and millions of their fellow countrymen, their neighbors effectively, if not across the street, then across state lines, who take offense at that. And some of that offense is now being reflected by people walking around carrying guns openly. So we're actually driving each other apart when we disparage one another in that fashion.
Do you happen to know the local lay of the land on this, by the way? In the article that I read this morning, it said 44 of the 50 states have open carry laws, and it listed the six that don't. New York is one of those six, but New Jersey and Connecticut were not. So is there open carry, including in restaurants, in New Jersey and Connecticut? Do you know?
It is allowed in Connecticut. I do not know the rule in New Jersey. However, I wanted to throw in another fact, which is that concealed carry is legal in all 50 states now. So the idea that people could actually solve this on the ground simply by when they go into this particular chain of stores by concealing their firearm for 5 minutes strikes me as really the preferable way to go, rather than having a big debate about the Second Amendment or calling each other names or having protests. I'm a very practical minded person. Why not just resolve the problem?
Personal courtesy and modesty,
which
is what Howard Schultz is asking for. Before you go, this story is doubly in your professional sweet spot, it seems to me. You're an author of this book about guns and gun culture, but you're also assistant managing editor at a business magazine. So what do you make of this from a marketing standpoint? Was Starbucks getting the wrong image in a way that threatened profits?
No, I don't think this was putting any kind of serious dent into Starbucks revenue or profit. I happened to, you know, to speak directly to Schultz about this, you know, a couple of days ago, and I think this was this is a genuine expression of corporate personality. I think Schultz, his board of directors, his other senior executives were genuinely worried that their company, which is set up to serve customers coffee and make a profit from that transaction, was drawn into this radioactive political debate, and they just didn't want to be there. They had tried one way to finesse it, which is to say, we're just going to follow the local laws. Now they're trying a slightly adjusted way to finesse it. We ask you respectfully to not bring your gun in or not show your gun is really more precisely what they're asking you, because they're not saying we're going to inquire whether you're carrying a gun concealed. So that, by implication, is obviously an option. I think they're trying to finesse it. I think this is a situation where a big company is trying to find a middle ground and trying to figure out a reasonable compromise in the middle of a tremendous ideological debate.
One other take on the business side, and maybe this is too cynical, but Schultz, maybe just as a side effect, kind of subtly promotes the fact here that Starbucks isn't just popular in college towns and liberal professional enclaves anymore, but also in communities where people are more likely to actually carry weapons openly when they're allowed. And I think that's a true statement, isn't it, about the expansion of Starbucks' location and popularity over time?
Absolutely. You know, this is one of the great brands of this era, just in dollars and cents terms and in marketing terms. And, you know, Starbucks, you know, helped create a revolution where all of us are walking around these days with cardboard cups of coffee. I mean, you know, when you and I were growing up, that wasn't done, actually. So they changed the marketplace. Personally, as a big coffee drinker, it's fine with me. And, you know, I think it is a side benefit to the brand for their CEO to be out there, in my eyes anyway, acting like a very reasonable kind of statesman-like guy, trying to figure out his way to dodge the crossfire, as it were, in this debate.
Paul Barrett, senior writer and assistant managing editor of Bloomberg Businessweek and author of Glock, The Rise of America's Gun. Paul, thank you so much.
My pleasure, as always.
And you can keep the comments coming to WNYC.org and keep having this conversation there. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And still to come on the Brian Lehrer Show today, how long is too long to wait for justice? It's WNYC's Robert Lewis next with his report on being holed up for years on Rikers Island. Some people are, despite the Constitution's guarantee of the right to a speedy trial. We'll have three guests to describe how things actually are for regular people in Syria, while the world leaders debate the politics of chemical weapons. We'll meet the five winners of our New York City Neighborhood Library Awards today. What made their libraries great, and what'll they do with the $10,000 prizes? And Miss Manners Minds Your Business. The actual Miss Manners, Judith Martin, solves your workplace behavior dilemmas and feels your exasperation, except when she doesn't. Later on the Brian Lehrer Show. Stay with us.